This is Scott Hansen.
This is Pat McClain. Today on our show, we're going to talk about proposed changes to Roth IRAs that may not be good for you.
The proposals aren't good for you. Also, in our new View of Retirement segment, Carrie Hannon is going to join us. She's really an expert on work transition and really as we age, what are some new things to be looking for?
And we're going to join our own advisor, Pat Henry, when he discusses 401k distribution strategies that may work for you like they work for others.
Stick around for Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are with us, both myself and my co-host here. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, and we spend our...
You can bring that music down.
Why?
I'm tired of listening to it.
It's not, the show's not about you.
It's my show. It's Hansen McClain. I'm McClain.
Half your show, half mine, but it's the listener's program.
Okay.
And the producer,
sitting in that booth over there,
believes that it's important to have the music playing for a little longer to get the kind of right rhythm going.
Okay.
Because we've got some new music in the last week or two. Well, it's kind of a little funky groove to it.
Huh? You don't know how to dance. You dance like a 50-year-old white guy.
Of course. What? I am. How am I supposed to dance? Like a 22-year-old Latino?
I don't know. So back to your introduction.
That's done now. I mean, forget it. Let's move
on. Chartered financial consultant, certified financial planners. Okay. We talked with you about financial issues. We take your calls, questions, comments, concerns. Yep. One-stop shop.
Yep. And we got a great program.
Calls, and by questions, the way, comments, and concerns.
If you do have a call, if you'd like to be a caller on Hansen McClain, we can certainly schedule that. 1-888-2-HANSON to join Hansen McClain. 1-888-2-HANSON or moneymatters.com will get you more information. And
1-888-2-HANSON.
Happy to help in any way.
Easy.
Yes. Easy peasy, as they like to say. And there was... And we're bringing this up because here's what we think is important for investors and people going towards retirement, that sort of thing. In the same manner you would diversify your investments.
As if you are a good investor.
Yep, just like everyone talks about that, right? Be diversified.
And
diversified is not a method to get wealthy. It's a method to protect your assets.
It is a risk management tool.
So if you worked for Apple since the start... And you diversified every time Apple was more than 5% of your net worth.
It was not a great strategy.
No, but had you been there a while and you made a bunch of money, you think, I'd like to protect these dollars, and you took some chips off the table, as I'd say, that was a wise strategy to protect those assets.
Yes.
So that's what diversification is about.
Now, let's use another example. If you had worked for, name a dozen companies in the last 10 years
blew up,
yeah, and you took... money off the table a little bit over time and diversified. It was a brilliant strategy. If you worked for
Kinder Morgan,
WorldCom.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But just recently, some of these master limited these oil companies.
We talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. Blowing up.
So.
Left and right.
In the same way that you would want to diversify your investments, it makes sense for you to diversify your tax strategy as well. And one of the things we like to say at Hansen McClain, look, if you can get to retirement and have savings in a variety of different areas, that is best.
For both asset classes and for tax strategies.
So you get to retirement age and you've got some money in a 401k, some money in a Roth.
Some money in an after-tax account.
Perhaps some money in an index fund that's sitting on the after side. Some money in a savings account.
Maybe even some money in some rental property.
Exactly. Which all have their different tax structures on it.
Every
right?
one of them.
Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring with tax law, right? Particularly in this election cycle, who knows what's going to happen. But so we did see this proposal that came out in the last few weeks that this was a senator from Oregon.
The great state of Oregon.
That wants to... put restrictions on how much can be in Roth IRAs. And he said, basically, Tax incentives for retirement savings are designed to help people build a nest egg, not a golden egg. That was his word. So,
all right.
So he was proposing a...
Everything is relative.
That's correct. He was proposing to have a new cap on Roth IRAs. Now, it's a large cap. It's a $5 million. So most people don't have $5 million in their Roth IRA. But he also, in addition to this, wanted to start having people take required minimum distributions.
And he actually wanted to shut down what they refer to as a loophole of high-income people putting money into a Roth, kind of, and we've talked about it on the show dozens of times, which is make a non-deductible IRA contribution, then convert it to a Roth soon after. And it's a good way of actually, it's not circumventing the rules. The rules don't specifically disallow it.
Yeah.
They don't specifically allow for it either.
Well, it was a loophole.
It was
in the same
loophole.
Way a 401k was created. It wasn't actually designed as a savings instrument. It was designed for something else, and someone figured out it's a great way to have employers.
So they want to shut down a couple of these things, which is, by the way, a great financial planning technique, is this non-deductible Roth conversion to a Roth. But here's the danger.
Also, he wants to ban stretch IRAs. This is so when people inherit IRAs, they can't stretch them out of their life expectancies.
Well, that's just silly.
People have account balances over for all IRAs.
That's just silly.
Silly?
That is just
silly. How can you say it's silly?
That you can stretch IRA because you have no idea. You don't have it. So what happens is, let's say I was lucky enough that my father was a great saver and a high earner, and he left me $2 million in an IRA. And I get that. I pull it out all in 1 year. I have to pay taxes on it at the highest marginal rate.
That's what he wants
to see. Both state and federal in 1 year. Whereas the stretch IRA allows me to.
All right. Well, maybe he can let it. It wasn't specific. That's probably. He also wants to do required minimum distributions.
On a Roth IRA?
Force on Roth IRAs.
Which is one of the beautiful things about a Roth IRA is that there's no required minimum distribution.
But the one good thing, and I think this, he would increase the required minimum distribution to age 73 for those under $150,000 in assets.
I think what we should do is make things more complicated.
By having 70, if you have more than 150, it's 70 and a half. So you know what's interesting? I bet most people aren't aware of this. There used to be an excise tax on withdrawals from retirement accounts greater than $750,000.
How long ago was that?
Well, it was during my career.
It was in withdrawals.
It was repealed in the mid-90s, I think.
I remember that.
Yeah, I do too. I don't remember the exact
specifics. Remember taking, the only time I ever saw it was on a test.
No, I remember dealing with people. I dealt with some people that had more than $750 in their 401k plans. There was an excise tax
on any withrawal.
And I forget it. It was 15%.
And there was a tax code.
15%. There was also, back then you could do a 10-year averaging and a 5-year averaging. There's a couple ways to.
But it was much more complicated than it is today.
But the fact is, be prepared for changes. So as you're planning your retirement savings.
Don't pretend that tax laws will stay the same. Diversify your tax strategies in your retirement savings.
Yeah, so that's definitely what you want to do. And at Hanson McLean, that's clearly a strategy that we talk about with our clients. And one of the things that we try to employ whenever possible is to have as much diversification as we can. So now let's talk about the new view of retirement. Well, the new view of retirement, this is a time when we talk about some of the changes that's been happening in the retirement area, and people are thinking about retiring a little differently today than maybe they were in the past. And baby boomers, of course, they've done lots of things differently, and they're approaching retirement similar. And last week, we had Chris Farrell on the program, who was author of the book Unretirement. And if you've missed that, you can get the episode on our podcast at moneymatters.com. And we've got a great guest this week, Carrie Hannon, and Carrie is author of 10 books, In our latest one, which is why I think it's kind of appropriate on this new view of retirement, she, did I say he? I don't remember. I apologize if I said he.
No, I
spent time on Carrie's website weeks ago, and then one of our producers found her on the interview, which is nice. But her latest book, Getting the Job You Want After Age 50. Getting the Job You Want After 50. And Carrie, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm a big fan of Chris Farrell, so I'm glad he was on last week.
Oh, good. He was terrible, though. No, I'm choking.
You will be so much better. It will be so much better. We couldn't wait.
One-word answers.
We couldn't wait to get him off the air. No, he was great. He was really, really, he was good. And we've been looking forward to having you on the show as well.
Yeah. And I think I found you just Googling around a few months back, and we're doing some kind of research in this area.
It's important stuff.
Yeah. So you've written 10 books, a lot of in the area of finance.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about having a job at over age 50.
Mm-hmm.
What, over your time of writing, what has changed that you've witnessed?
Well, you know what we're really seeing is this whole cohort of people who are, you know, we have all this good stuff. We're living longer, healthier lives, presumably. And I think as boomers get up to that stage of life that our parents might have stepped out of the workforce or what have you, we're saying like, no. You know, we want to keep doing stuff. We have this energy to keep doing things, whether it's for the pay or not for the pay. And I think that we see these opportunities to, you know, often at this stage of life, I actually wrote a book called What's Next, and it looked at people who had done something for 20 or 30 years and just, you know, did a complete pivot to something different. And a lot of that was because you hit these stages where the kids are launched, maybe the mortgage is paid down, and you're like, hey, you know, is this what it's all about? You know, I have some time here. What can I do in this next chapter of my life that's really challenging?
You know, you bring up an interesting point here, Carrie. So, I've done some studies, and one of the things I've kind of focused on is as we mature and go through different stages in our career, obviously we've got some skills that we've acquired, some wisdom that we've acquired. And my thought, I guess, in my own career is how can I continue to improve upon those, and how can I maybe reshape but continue in that same career path? But you've wrote a book, and a lot of people have done complete pivots, right?
Just something completely mm-hmm. different.
And tell
they
us...
They do, but in keeping what you just said, it's so interesting is that so many people get caught up in this whole idea that if they're going to switch to do something that really matters to them, whether it's giving back in some way or following a passion, that they have to in some way reinvent themselves. But in fact, that's not the case at all. It's really taking all those skills that we've honed over these years and redeploying them in a different arena. It's not like you have to learn all kinds of new things. You really just have to package those things you already know and shift to a new area. And that's where I think it becomes a stumbling block for folks, that if they would just realize that, hey, you're okay. You just need to kind of shift over here with, you know, take stock of what you already have in your wheelhouse.
Can you think of an example of someone maybe you've written about in the past and done something along those lines?
Well, I do. It's kind of a funny example, but it's so perfect. Don Covington retired from the Navy. He was a captain, and he was in San Diego and took the mandatory retirement. And, you know, he could have flown commercial aircraft. He could have gotten a position with the Defense Department. But Don absolutely loved the circus from the time he was a little kid. I mean, he would go to the circus with his dad, and everywhere he was deployed for the Navy, he would find a circus, and he got circus magazines. So when he retired, Don ran away with the circus. And so I interviewed him.
How old was he? How old
is he
was
doing
he?
The swinging around on the...
He was... No, listen. Now, he was 60. And I said, now, Don, you know, what he ended up doing is he took a job with the Big Apple Circus as the company manager. And it's a nonprofit circus based in New York City. And it would go up and down the East Coast with a troop of about 150 people. And what he did, he said, you know, he's like, Carrie, the military and the circus aren't that different, you know, if you really think about it. But what he meant was that, in fact, he was taking all those sort of leadership skills he had developed, his project management skills, a lot of the things he had used in his career with the military, he was able to redeploy, so to speak, to be in, you know, the guy in charge of moving this troop of people up and down the East Coast.
Wow.
and he loved it.
How long did he do it for?
Good. Another at least 8-10 years, wow. Something like that. I could look it up, but he just.
All right, let me make a note for myself. Example. Join the circus.
So I can't quite see you doing that.
That is amazing. That's a great, great story. And it is just like, that's an adventure. It's not just a job. It's not just living life. That is an adventure.
Yeah, I got to be a kid under the big top all the time.
Well, you know, it's what I find interesting, Carrie. So we've been helping people transition to retirement for a couple decades now. Some people do this transition well, and some do it really poorly. I mean, you've seen all the studies. The average retiree under age 75 watches 4 hours of television a day. I don't think that's really where people find the most amount of joy and satisfaction in their life in their retirement. But we've just seen that a lot of people just don't approach this season of life with that kind of planning.
It's so true. I mean, I often encourage people to start thinking when you're 55 what you might want to do at 60, because 60, 65, because it really to change, if you're going to change to a different career, if you're going to shift the way you do your work, you really need to start laying that groundwork, and it takes time. And you may have to learn some new skills, get a certification that you didn't have before in order to stay relevant in the workplace. You can't be stagnant. You can't sit back. So if you want to continue to be doing work in some fashion, whether part-time or seasonal or what have you, you probably need to keep your skills sharp. So you need to continue to, pursue educational opportunities and really work your network, but it takes time. And another big thing, and I know you guys probably talk to folks about this a lot too, is one of the most important things you can do when you're nearing this chapter in your life, which it used to be called retirement, and we all try to call it something different, like refirement or whatever, is to get financially fit. And that can take a couple of years to really pay down some of those debts, or maybe you want to downsize your home if the kids are gone, as I mentioned, and you can maybe not have a mortgage, or you could refinance your mortgage, but most importantly, pay off any big credit card debts, and that can take time. But when you're financially fit, you're nimble and you have choice, because debt is without a doubt the biggest dream killer for what kind of work you might want to do at this next phase of your life. And if you can be fit financially, then you can work in jobs that may not pay what you made in your last job. It gives you, sort of these opportunities to look at jobs that aren't for the money. Money is a big piece of it. Even people who have saved for retirement often want to keep working to have that, sort of safety net, so they don't have to tap into the retirement savings too soon or start taking Social Security too soon. They can push that back and, all the benefits of that. So that's one of my big, passionate pieces to tell people as they near retirement, to really get financially fit.
And Carrie, we will oftentimes say to someone, look, if you're unhappy in your job and you're 55, maybe it's okay to actually switch to a new job that pays less and do it for a longer period of time.
Delay retirement, way out.
Way out, because you'll be satisfied. And at the end of the day, money's important, but it's not the only thing. If it was the only thing, we wouldn't have children, right? We wouldn't have pets. If money was our main motivator, we would act completely different. But people oftentimes don't bring that to their own employment and think about that, right? Which is, if I'm going to spend...
I think that is great. That is great advice, because one of the things when I, look at people and you ask them, what do you love about your job? It's often not even the job. It's the mission of the company, or the, sort of the purpose of the company that they work for, or the people they work with. There's so many other factors around the edges that make a job something that you love, that why should you wake up and hate your job every day? I meet people all across the country who are desperate to find work, because I look into their eyes and they really have this palpable fear about living their money. And when I hear people complain and really hate their work, I'm like, stop it. You have control. Do something about it, because there's lots of people who would like your current job.
Yeah.
And move on to something that's going to really be gratifying for you, because you know, as they say, you only got this one life going for you.
Yeah, and the court of law didn't sentence you to this job. It wasn't someone sentenced you to a...
I think, though, there's a real concern. And if you look at some of the studies, though, the numbers, the age discrimination is... that's the kind of thing we hear a lot. People are concerned. No one wants to hire me. I'm 61 years old. So there's discrimination out there. Are you seeing there's any change in corporate America as with the aging boomers?
I do believe that we are going to start seeing the tide turning, especially if the economy will continue improving, that there'll be a need for, there's not as many younger workers coming up. So there is a need to keep older workers on the job. And I do think employers, many of them are starting to realize this. But to your point about ageism, I often have people come up to me, and typically maybe it's a woman who's saying, you know, should I dye my hair? Should I get Botox? And, you know, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, if it's going to make you feel good, fine, but don't do it right before your interview. But the best thing anyone can do to fight ageism is to get physically fit. You know, when you're in shape, and I don't mean running fast miles or bench pressing or whatever, when you are physically fit, you have this energy. So if you have a walking or a swimming program, but you give off this vibe and this real positive energy that goes a long way to fighting ageism, because what employers worry about is that you're not up for the job, that you don't have the grit and stamina to really do the job. And so this is a great way to kind of refute that point without having to say anything, but you come in and you really show that you do have that energy, and being fit is part of that.
That is worth the interview alone. That right there. Truly. Truly. So when you're telling me this story, I'm doing a 100-mile bike ride in 2 weeks with a 78-year-old man that still works part-time. But if you met him...
I love it.
If you met him, you wouldn't know he was 78, right? This guy has more energy than most 40-year-olds. but I never thought of it like that. It's because the people aren't judging you on their age. They're judging you on your vitality.
Yep. And, you know, people judge a book by its cover. And so if you could give off this positive vibe, this energy, you got a lot going for you.
Now, Carrie, what about folks that are retirement age that want to stay engaged but not really for a paycheck? They're not interested in a career. Do you have any suggestions for those people?
Yeah, I think, you know, and heck, that is such a fantastic thing to do, because a lot of people do have all these skills and we want to keep giving back and make a difference in the world. I mean, it really is important. And to start with, if you're going to do that, I would take some time and really do some soul searching about what it is that you might want to do. You know, a lot of people start struggling and they look for volunteer opportunities and they find that they're stuffing envelopes or what, it's just not rewarding. And so they end up stopping, you know, they don't do it. So really try to, you know, look at what kind of volunteer work would really, you know, interest you and that you're really passionate about. And you might try out a few different ones before you get started, but I would look for nonprofits that really need your particular professional expertise. And there's a couple of, you know, Taproot Foundation is one that you could look at. Their website, bridgespan.org, has an online job board for nonprofit positions. Idealist.org, there's a searchable database for volunteer and paid positions. But what's important is that you just reach out and start, you know, looking at the areas that interest you and don't get turned away by the fact that, you know, you may have a couple of, you know, duds at first until you find an organization that really will value your experience, because otherwise it's not going to work for you. And you probably, and maybe the Encore.org is a great organization that has done a lot in this area of helping people shift to doing work for the greater good. And they have a big initiative going on now for at-risk children, pairing, you know, sort of seniors, and I'll use that word loosely, with opportunities to work with at-risk kids. And that's just another thing. If that interests you, they have some great grassroots opportunities around the country.
Yeah, great. Encore.org. We appreciate you mentioning that, Carrie. Well, Carrie, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us here at Hanson McLean. And again, Carrie is the author of 10 books. Latest book is Getting the Job You Want After 50. And we'll have a link to Carrie Hannon at our website at moneymatters.com. So you go to moneymatters.com and there will be Carrie, and you can click right in and and learn all kinds of stuff and see some of the things that she's been writing for the New York Times and Forbes and Money and everything else. And so, Carrie, it's been a real honor to have you here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been terrific. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. You know, it's interesting, Pat. As she was talking, I think my mother is 77, still working full, went back to work full time.
Full time.
Mainly because her advisor blew her money.
No, that's not true.
No, because she wants to.
That's terrible.
Work full time.
It doesn't necessarily need the money. The money, but doesn't need it.
No. And but walks an hour every morning.
Before work.
Yeah. You probably see my mom. She's about 40.
Yeah.
Every year.
She's a
little fiery pistol, you know. But it's really interesting to see how retirement's changed. And here at Hanson McLean, we want to have interesting guests like Carrie Hannon talk about just some of the changes that have been happening, and hope you appreciated Carrie's segment, because we're going to be doing more like that as we continue on. Right now, we're taking a quick break for the bottom of the hour segment, and we stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McLean. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
That's right. They've already been joining us.
Well, some of them may have just tuned in. Either way.
And we're glad you're with Hanson McLean. And as we're talking about financial matters and life and
money, kids.
You know, the retirement age has been slowly moving up for the first time, last few years.
Yes.
It's been going. It was going down, down, down. Now it's starting to move back up. We're living longer.
People are more concerned about retirement. Working longer, and many seem to be enjoying it.
Retirement? Many enjoy retirement.
Working longer.
Many enjoy working longer. Some enjoy retirement.
Yes.
But you know, it's. I think part of it is making sure you have a plan of what you're going to be doing.
A good idea. And that you've tested things a little bit. So when we say test things a little bit, I can think of stories. Been doing this almost 25 years now. And our firm has worked with thousands of retirees. And I think about people that say, well, what I'm going to do in retirement is we're going to sell our home and buy a big motorhome and travel around the country.
You've seen that?
How many times?
A lot.
And the first question I ask is,
have you ever spent a time in a motorhome?
And they'll say, you know, if they have one then, it's like, what's the longest you've ever spent? And they'll say like a week.
So most of the time, clearly what we've seen over the years, we see people retire, go buy a big motorhome.
And hate it.
And barely use the thing. And 4 years later, they have this motorhome.
Or hate it. So I recommend...
I haven't had many people say they hate it. I hate it.
I've had clients say,
and you rented a giant one time. It's not just those.
I've rented multiple.
The ones you see with the big.
Oh, signs I rented on. One once with my four kids, and they were under tiny. The age of six. That was just not smart.
I saw you at your house. The thing was huge.
Oh, it was stupid.
One of those huge.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful.
But then again, on the other hand, we've seen clients, Pat, that have. Lived for years
and loved every minute of it.
Years.
But the point of the conversation is, if you're going to do something drastic like that, don't jump in. Maybe wait in. Rent a motor. If you think you're going to want to travel the U.S. in a motorhome, rent a motorhome for a month. You think, why would you rent it for a month? You'll know after a month whether you are built for that sort of thing or not. I just had a client that just came back from Alaska. He 61 days on in a motorhome by himself.
By himself?
By himself. Absolutely loves it. But this is the kind of guy, he could make friends with a Paul. I mean, he talks to everyone. He's a marvelous guy, but just absolutely loved it. Meets friends. They invite him over to the house.
So he must be an introvert, yet is easy around meeting people.
He's okay spending time by himself and with other people.
Introverted extrovert. Yes. Extroverted introvert.
So, one of the questions we get often is, you know, does it make sense for me to move? Clients come in, they're doing a little financial planning. Does it make sense for me to move? Does it make sense for me to downsize my house?
How many people have you seen, how many clients of Hanson McLean live outside of California? Not because we first met them living outside of California.
Lots and lots.
But we've been in, we started in Sacramento 20 some odd years ago, although we have offices in other cities and states. But our clients.
All over the country.
Hundreds that have left California and moved to other places, a variety of different states.
Yeah. For many different reasons.
For many different reasons.
Yeah. Some financial, some political.
That's right.
Many political. Many political. Where they just don't like the particular politics.
But I think cost of living is a big factor.
Cost of living?
But also following kids that have left to lower cost of living states.
Closer to children? Yeah. Closer to relatives? Closer to sisters and brothers? And so, the question we get is, should I retire? And so, should I move in retirement? And one of the things that is the biggest thing, which is your house the kind of house that you can age comfortably in? You think, what are you talking about? Or if you've got knee or back problems in your 60s, they're typically going to get worse in your 70s and 80s.
You know, though, I just listened to a study about these blue zones or whatever they call it, these areas where people live like to 100. There's a lot of centurions. And one was that, what's that island off of Italy? Right? There's one island where the people live for. But they said a lot of these areas, people live in these homes where there are multiple floors where there's stairs.
So that's their form of exercise?
Yes. That was, well, according to this one expert on the one study.
So,
I'm saying.
I'm not going to go with that thesis. I'm going to go with the thesis that most of our clients, which is,
no,
do I need a smaller home? Do I need a home that is a single story? Am I tired of taking care of the home itself, the yard, paying the insurance? These are all questions to ask yourself. And if you're moving to another area, I had some clients years ago that moved. I don't know why they moved, but they moved to Reno, Nevada. They thought they were going to like it. They were there less than a year before they moved.
Had they been to Reno, Nevada before?
I'm sorry, Reno.
Nevada. Just teasing.
Yeah, it's biggest little city in the West. That's their motto.
I know.
Okay, thank you.
They didn't last long in Reno.
They did not last long. So these are questions that you want to ask yourself is, do you have more space than you need? Do you want to reduce your insurance and maintenance costs? Do you want to move closer to family and friends?
That's probably a biggie for a lot of people.
Most people. Most people.
Yeah, because I mean, life is typically around relationships.
Yeah. And are you interested in a new retirement lifestyle or a retirement type community? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
And some people do really, really well in retirement communities, but some people miss the interaction with the younger people by living in them. So I've seen clients move in and loved
it. Yep, same thing.
And then I have other clients that have moved in and said, I miss having young families around. I want to go to a new neighborhood and a new subdivision where there's a bunch of kids running around and young adults. And then they started acting as mentors, if you will.
Yeah. So anyway, it's it'll be interesting to see, Pat, what the future looks like, because these big retirement type communities, will there be changes in them?
Will they start integrating?
And will we start seeing some in more of cities?
They've already started. Not the buildings more that are more geared towards retirement communities. Buildings that are geared closer to that.
Yeah. So anyway, it's I think it's all a little interesting what is happening with
where it's going, the direction, and it will continue to change. We know that. What your view of retirement is in your 60s will be significantly different in 10 years from now. So even
if you're 60 today,
and 10 years from now, the retirement you thought you were going to have
I read an interesting study. If you're thinking, this is a financial program, why are these guys talking about, well, obviously where you live is a big, huge piece of your finances. But money's a tool, and people come to advisors like us. I mean, Hanson McLean, we've been helping people for 20 some odd years. We've got a great team of advisors, that sort of thing. People come to us really because they want to figure out, I've got these dollars saved. How does my 401k translate into my life, my retirement?
Like time and money, right?
So I know I've got this balance here, the 401k.
Yeah, this $1 million? Is that enough? Is that not enough? What's the number one question we get? Do I have enough?
Yeah, do I have enough? Well, enough for what? So then really it's like, well, what does retirement look like? And I saw a study recently, the average 65-year-old, this is really interesting. The average 65, at least I find it interesting, so you should really pay attention. The average 65-year-old today has the same health and stamina as a 58-year-old did 4 decades ago.
The average, say that again?
The average 65-year-old has the same health and stamina as a 58-year-old did 4 decades ago.
So technically,
I look at a picture of my grandparents. This is my father's parents. My grandpa died before I was born, and my grandma died when I was 4 or 5 or whatever. He died at age 56. So I don't know when this picture was taken, but he looked 76.
No, he looked old.
He looked old.
Compared to today.
Compared to today.
Yeah.
I look at 56-year-olds like, you know, they...
So the reason we talk about these things is because
we're living longer and we're healthier as we're getting older. Jeez.
Yeah. So you're going to need more money if you want to stay active, right? Because activity normally has a cost associated with, regardless of what it is. And oftentimes people stay in the workforce longer because they know they're going to live longer. They don't want to retire. They want to stay active in the workforce.
Yeah, engaged in some fashion. Yeah. And so a lot of the planning we do with people is, well, and a lot of people, here's what happens. People go online and they do these retirement calculators, right? We've all done those. Do I have enough money saved for retirement? You put the stuff in and it says, oh, you'll be fine. You just need to save $3,000 a month.
Which isn't.
Or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's something that is just...
It's so ludicrous that you just don't even start.
Yeah,
you
a lot of people like, yeah. I mean, I talk to people
forget
like,
forget it.
I don't know how I'm ever going to retire. I talk to people in their 50s. I don't know how I'm ever going to retire.
And then you say,
well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But really, it's like, okay, well,
if you're not going to retire,
if you don't, I know you said you wanted to retire at 60. It's not reality for you. So how can we organize and orchestrate your life today? So that you get to a point where you've got the financial resources so that you're not obligated to work. You've got some freedom where now you can pursue something that you would rather enjoy.
Maybe for less money than you would somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's how retirement's changing. That's where things are going. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
You know, I had a client years ago who retired. And after a conversation with the client, I suggested that they go back to work. And it had nothing to do with the money. It's that there was a gap. And this person was a hard worker. You could tell. And they had saved and they were, I think he was 58 or 60. But he wasn't ready for retirement. It had nothing to do with the money. He was just not ready.
Yeah, so... Hey, if you would like to be on Hanson McLean's radio program, you have a question for us regarding maybe your retirement or portfolio, wondering if your 401k is allocated properly. We take calls on this program quite often. And if you'd like to join the program, our contact number to join the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And if you've been a listener of Hanson McLean for a while, you've recognized our format has been changing.
A little.
Yeah, changing a little and dealing with a variety of different issues. And so, but we still enjoy taking calls periodically, often, on the program. So if you've got a question for us, we would love to
get you on the air.
And you can call anytime and leave your message, and we will schedule a time when we're recording and you can join the program. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON or go to moneymatters.com. And now let's talk real advice. And And Real Advice is our segment where we talk with a financial advisor, a certified financial planner of Hanson McLean.
And we must give our compliance disclosure that this is an individual client, and your experience with the financial advisor and our firm may be identical or different.
Well, it's not going to be identical.
It's going to be different, and you may or may not be satisfied with that.
That's right. It's essentially a securities rules and regulation.
We're not allowed in the securities. We're not allowed to.
As a registered investment advisory firm, as a fiduciary and an independent registered investment advisory firm, we cannot use client testimonials.
And even anything that appears to be a client testimonial, like a story about a client, unless
our legal department
disclose,
says that we need to say that maybe this is a fluke. Perhaps most of our clients hate us. And. And that's why we have 4,000 households that
and $2 billion. But
because
this guy's in the compliance, there's no one ever asks why the guy in the compliance gets the far corner
compliance department down in the basement.
He's like the movie.
Gets no respect
from the movie Office Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bobs.
I think I'll need you to come in on Saturday. Yeah.
That's actually, you can't see.
That's one of those movies where the first time I watched it, and someone told me to watch it, I didn't see it back when it was popular.
It reruns every weekend.
I didn't see it until like 5 years ago. And the first time I watched it, I'm like, because there's maybe 6 minutes of entertaining parts in it, right? But
they're funny.
But I've seen it like three times now, and I find it more humorous. Just this.
The Bobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need you to come in on Saturday.
No, we like compliance, and we're going to get him a chair for his desk pretty soon. All right. So Patrick Henry, a certified financial planner.
That is his real name. He's not just trying to sound like a patriotic.
He has worked with Hanson McLean since 1997, although
2004.
In 2004.
I know the sheet you have in front of you says 1997.
Okay, he joined us in 2004. Although I have known Patrick Henry since, I have a great story about Patrick Henry.
Watch it.
Okay.
Watch it.
So when Pat and I used to work together at an investment company, and he was newly married, and I had been married for a couple of years, and the first couple of weeks we had worked together, I said, "Hey, why don't you come over to our house for dinner?" So he comes over with his wife and
did you have kids then at the time?
No kids. And we're eating dinner, and it was the day before, I think, either Easter or Thanksgiving. What was it, Pat?
Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving. It was the night before Thanksgiving, and halfway through the dinner, his wife says, "You know, we are having a dozen people over for dinner. We need to go shopping tomorrow. Or we need to go shopping. And I want to do it now." And Pat says, "Nah, Pat and I will do it." So we get in the car and we drive down to the
grocery. So wait a minute.
We left our wives there talking at my house, and then I went Thanksgiving shopping for Pat and his family. So we get up to the counter, and there's $150 worth. I was just starting in the business. I didn't have any money. So I get up to the counter. There's $150 worth of stuff, a big cart. Rings it all up. We get there, and Pat looks at me and says, "I forgot my wallet." So
how convenient.
So I pay for it. And to this day, I have never been paid back, but I have completely forgotten it. And I don't hold it against you at all.
See, now that's a good lesson from a financial advisor.
Don't go shopping with Pat Henry.
What's that commercial, the guy with the alligator arms? Yeah. Can't quite reach the bill.
And that is a true story about my dear friend, Patrick Henry. So, Pat, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
And have I invested that $150 in a well-diversified portfolio 25 years ago?
Who knows?
Yeah, Pat.
You should calculate that try for it.
Anyway, so this is the part of the segment where we have an advisor on, and he actually shares with us, or she shares with us, a story about a client and how they were able to work through whatever issues they were having.
Yep. The client that I wanted to kind of tell you guys about was a neat couple that worked for one of the larger employers here in town, and he got an early retirement buyout offer. So they came into the office, and as you guys were talking about earlier, to find out if they had enough money to retire, it wasn't necessarily the time they were thinking about retiring. They had planned a few years down the road, but with this offer, they wanted to see how, you know, how it would work or how it would look. And so they did a fantastic job. They had done everything that you really look for with someone getting ready to transition out of their day-to-day paycheck. They had been great savers. They had lived within their means. They had really no debt other than their house. And they, in fact, they had just refinanced their house because they got to the point where they just said, you know, I guess we're never going to have our house paid off. It was one of their goals. And it was the only spot that they really had kind of let them, they felt like they'd let themselves down a little bit. But they decided, hey, let's refinance it, and we'll spread it out over 30 years, get the payments down low so that we have a very low cash flow need.
Which is a great strategy, by the way, if you're not going to get the house paid off.
At
retirement time is you take the other tact and you try to get your monthly payments as low as possible.
Right. So they had done a fantastic job. So we ran a cash flow analysis for them and looked at this buyout and their 401k. Like you said earlier, you know, it's one of their largest invested assets. And they were great. They had plenty of money. They could generate enough income to maintain their lifestyle, everything they need. And they were fantastic. So they said, you know, they wanted to think about it because, as you mentioned earlier, you know, retirement is very different now. It's more of a transition than the old-fashioned put down your tools and sit on the porch and drink lemonade type of thing. He wasn't sure if he wanted to retire. He'd been there over 30 years. And so he wanted to go home and just kind of see, am I emotionally ready to retire? So they called me back a few days later and said, you know what, we're going to take this buyout. We're ready. A lot of things we want to do. Financially, we can do this. They came back, and one of the things that we wanted to do was the process for them to, after they made that decision, till the time he actually retired was probably about 3 months down the road. And we wanted to go in and reallocate his 401k because he had invested it pretty much in equities or in stocks, and because he had planned on working a few more years. And we wanted to make sure that if in that 3 month period we had a big market correction or something that way, it wasn't going to affect his ability to retire now that he's made that decision. So we wanted to go in and make it a more conservative allocation.
Take some risk off the table.
Exactly, exactly. And as we were doing that, when we go in there, I always like to look, especially for people that have been in or with an employer for 25 or 30 years and have been contributing into their plans that long, a lot of times there's after-tax dollars in these accounts. Older plans, when they first started contributing to them, when the employees started, a lot of times they used after-tax dollars to contribute to these before 401ks became part of the, you know, kind of national landscape. And you usually find $5,000, $6,000, maybe $10,000 of after-tax money in there, and you want to carve that out because since they've already paid taxes on it, we don't want to roll that over into an IRA or have that commingled with those assets. And so as I went into there and went through into the area that tells us all these different sources, I found that they had about $200,000.
$200,000 in after-tax.
In a 401k. Yep, I don't think I've ever seen that much.
And how big was that? So the account balance had to be 900. How big was the account
balance? It was just over $900,000.
Yep. Okay.
Good guess, Pat. Yeah.
What's they've done a fantastic job.
So they must have contributed in the after-tax for most of their, like, always.
He kept going, yeah. He never switched that.
That's interesting.
Well, he switched it, but he split it.
Got it.
I looked over at him and I said, you know, your mortgage is about $190,000. How do you feel about paying off your house? And he went, no, we can't. I mean, this is crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, this money comes out. You've already paid taxes on it. There's no tax liability or consequences on that. Let's rerun the numbers. We'll take this $200,000 out and see how it works. So we redid the cash flow analysis for him, came back to him, and it was fine. With him not having the house payment, with what he had saved and what he had in his buyout and other assets, we could still generate an income not quite as high as before, but he didn't need as much because he didn't have the house payment. As we like to say, you know, money not going out is like money coming in. So he was pretty much in the same situation. He had the house paid off. So at that point, they were ecstatic.
But, Pat, he could have rolled that into his IRA. For the rest of the listeners, what Pat could, if in fact, most advisors, I think, would do this, is they roll it into the IRA. They could roll the money into an IRA. And then proportionately, the distributions that come out, some are tax-free.
Right. But in this situation, his idea was, hey, this is something we've always wanted to do. Let's do this if we can.
Good for them.
It made sense to do that. Yeah.
Did you make the portfolio, because they didn't have that monthly debt, did you make the portfolio slightly more aggressive, or did you keep it the same?
No, we made it slightly, very slightly more aggressive, a little more from a more conservative to closer to a balanced type of position.
Got it.
And it was really neat when, after he retired, we were kind of taking care of everything and rolling things over, consolidating, getting them set up, getting their income going. And when we called the custodian to do the rollover and then have the check cut, the $200,000 cut to him to pay off the mortgage, it was really neat because his wife was there with him, and she didn't come in a lot of times in the meantime, but she was there for that appointment. And she actually started to cry, saying that she never thought in her life they'd have their house paid off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was just the neatest thing to see this whole thing come full circle and allow them to do what they wanted to do.
Well, Pat, thanks for taking some time to share with us that client story. And thanks for being an advisor, Hanson McLean, too. We appreciate it. I know you've been around.
Oh, it's great, guys. Yeah.
Since 2004. Pat really cares for his clients, and we are very fortunate to have you here.
And an excellent golfer.
Scratch golfer, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know when you have time to do that,
yeah.
Pat, but
I don't know. I'm going to look at
a little
schedule.
Bit more time in the office.
Yeah, but sometimes there's little tricks like that, and we're net unrealized appreciation sometimes in the 401k. The 401ks, they're not always as straightforward as they look. And of course, Hanson McLean, we've been helping people as they transition into retirement. We've done a lot of work with people, Pat, that are kind of forced into retirement, right? Early retirement.
Or get an early retirement offer, and well, they call them the TAP sometimes, where they're encouraged highly.
About half of Americans move into retirement earlier than they had planned.
Because of employer and oftentimes health.
Yep.
We'll make themselves or a loved one.
And, of course, we've had a lot of experience. And if you find yourself facing something like that or want to prepare for it, we encourage you to meet with one of our advisors. We have offices throughout Northern California, and we have as well as advisors in the Denver metro area, and love to help in any way we can. So, and this music means that we are out of time. We apologize for that.
But visit us every week. Website at moneymatters.com.
And if you're not getting the podcast, get the podcast delivered each week. Go to your iTunes or wherever store you use. Look for Hanson McLean. Search Hanson McLean. You can sign up and be delivered each week. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. We'll be with you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.